This is Marlena, and this is the Marlena program for the week of February 19th, 2006. And I hope you will come on in and join us for the next 2 hours as we take your phone calls and meet interesting folks. And, of course, as always, you're listening to the music of Chrissy Cochran. The name of the song is Marlena. I'm glad you're here. Come on in and settle in for a while. Well, good evening, good morning, maybe good afternoon, depending upon when and from where you are listening. I'm Marlena, and we're trying all kinds of new things to bring the show in a bit more smoothly. I would be interested in knowing what y'all think about some of these ways we're starting the show. But we've got a great show tonight. I personally am very much looking forward to this show. You know, I'm one of the older folks here on ACB Radio, both mainstream and interactive. And I can remember very well the days of listening to radio drama, listening to yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and Gunsmoke and all these cool things. And then, of course, we lost it for a number of years, and you had to sort of skulk around and find old-time radio where you could find it. And then along came the internet, which helped to bring back some of the old-time radio, but still it was few and far between. And then along came ACB Radio, and thanks to many of the folks who were around at the beginning, including Charlie Crawford in Maryland, we established an old-time radio channel. Well, that was just fabulous, and so we could have old-time radio whenever we wanted it. But some of us missed some of the newer time radio, things like the CBS Mystery Theater, and oh, with E.G. Marshall, and out here on the West Coast and in other parts of the country, you get the Jim French Imagination Theater, and some of us really got to missing that. And then along came XM Radio and Sonic Ear, and perhaps Sirius has a channel as well. I don't know, since I only subscribe to XM. And oh boy, we had it all then. We had old time, we had new time. And I think it was just last week I was listening to Byron Lee on the Talk Zone. And he got the most interesting caller by the name of Chris Snyder. And Chris produces, I guess we'll say, new time radio drama. Let me not say any more. Let me punch the button and bring Chris in. Hey, Chris, welcome to Marlena.
Hi there, Marlena.
It's great to have you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, was that a fair synopsis, do you think, of kind of where what we once had and where we're headed now with this drama?
Oh boy, it's such a long history that I don't know if I could do it justice. You know, you did a pretty good job there with given a lot of history. Let's see. How about, well, you know, back then, of course, we had different types of recording technology, so it was all mono. The sound effects were generally created in studio on what they called a sound box. You know, they had, I don't remember how this exactly worked. They had like a box, and they had gravel on some of it, and they had wood, and they had tile or something, and they would make the sound effects by themselves with, for horses, they would put hollowed out coconut shells. For people, you know, they would have maybe a pair of shoes, or even actually less than that, sometimes they would just have a pair of heels.
Yeah, yeah, and you can really tell that, you know, when you go back and listen to some of this old stuff, you're like, yeah, that's not a guy walking, that's a woman's
right.
heel. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But they got the point across, and that was the point of the time. In fact, some shows didn't even bother with footsteps at all, because they felt that people would just figure they were moving.
Well, now. And audio, of course, for many of us, particularly those of us who are blind, is just, I mean, it's such a no-brainer. So many of us love it. And that's what I was fascinated with, was what it is that you do. But before I get to that, tell us a little bit about who you are and what led you to that which you now do.
Oh, boy. Well, it was actually an interesting ride, I have to say, because I started out when I was a little kid. I was born blind, to start with, totally. And I started out sort of, my parents were told, as many parents of my generation, I'm 28 now, in January, and many parents of that time period were told by their kids' doctors that, oh, well, they won't walk till they're three, and they, you know, they had very low, the pediatricians had very low expectations for the kids, you know, and my parents just said to heck with that, and they proved them wrong, and I was their youngest walker at 6 months, and
wow.
From then on, they stimulated me with audio, with olfactory, with tactile, with just about every kind of stimulus they could think of. And I also went to the Foundation for Blind Children here in Arizona from about 10 months on. And they, you know, they trained me even more as many of those.
It sounds like you have things going on.
It sounds like I have an unexpected thing going on. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, so. Okay. I've got a little monkey man here who is...
How old is your little monkey man?
He is 5.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so they taught me a lot, and I went on to become fascinated with television shows.
Uh-huh.
And things like Bewitched was a big deal for me because of all the cool sound effects. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Oh, and, totally, and, yeah.
And I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah.
And all the cool shows with magic. At the time, I didn't even know about Star Trek. My dad was a huge Trek person, but I didn't know really about it. And so I learned more about it as time went on. But I used to collect the sound effects from these shows on tape. I would just put them on a cassette tape and from a patch cord from the television to the tape recorder. Because back then we didn't tape those shows. We just had them on the air when they aired, so I'd catch them and tape them. And amassed this huge collection of Bewitched and Genie sound effects, and later on we added Star Trek the Original Series and then The Next Generation as they came on, because the sound effects in those shows were so original that they really caught the ear. And ever since then, I've been making skits with my cousin and friends. We would make little tape skits and just do weird things together on the tapes. And then as time went on, I went to college. I'm a fair piano player, not great. And I thought, well, I should probably major in piano playing because I didn't know what to call what I loved, really. I never even thought about doing that. I figured because, you know, I went to high school in the 90s, and there really wasn't a whole lot of New Time radio yet. They had Imagination Theater by...
Jim French.
Oh, gosh. Jim French. Yeah,
yeah. That's, yeah.
But I didn't know. I didn't know that stuff was still being made. I had a love for that old stuff, but I didn't know. And so I did that for a couple years, and then I realized, wait, they are making this stuff, and even if they weren't, I can still do audiobooks, and I can do descriptive video. And so I got an apprenticeship with a guy in the valley here called John McJunkin, who was a graduate of the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences. And we moved from there to Rick Boggs. I met Rick Boggs, who did the descriptions. He had the company WeCTV, and I worked with him for 3 years. Actually, I still work with him on occasion.
Did you ever Did you ever do any of the Blind Justice descriptions since Rick did those descriptions?
I didn't do those particular episodes, actually. I was back in Arizona at that point, and I didn't fly out for those. However, I did. I've done over 150 with his company.
Really?
You know, the Wonderful World of Disney, some Fox movies, a couple of seasons of That 70s Show, the last season of Malcolm in the Middle.
Wow.
And then now, most recently, we're describing Farther Than the Eye Can See from the Mount Everest movie, Eric Weinmayer.
Oh, right, right.
And
right.
He's got another documentary called Far Horizons, which is about adaptive technology and also has some blind folks and other disabled folks doing some mountain climbing, some hiking in Italy.
Well, now the question begs to be asked. How does a blind person do description?
Well, we have descriptive. We have sighted writers who do the descriptions. They write them, and then we can have a voiceover person. You know, if they read Braille proficiently, or they can memorize the line. If they can read the Braille, then memorize the line. Then we can have a blind describer in the booth narrating the movie. We just sync it up to the picture. In the description script, there is a time code that corresponds to the picture, and so we can sync up the audio to that picture and put the description between the dialogue.
So this is of possible interest to many of our listeners and perhaps even some of the ACB radio folks who provide content, if they're interested in pursuing this or finding out if they're capable, what would they do?
Well, I would say go grab an audio application like Goldwave. I really love my Goldwave, and they have a free one you can download. To start experimenting, and if you should decide to license it later, it's okay. It's not bad, but it's not. It's a great program, there's also SoundForge, which I think you have to pay for right off the bat with that. But it's, you know, I would start messing with it. I would start trying to make things to see what you can do. See, the people that are most auditorily, I'm not getting the right word here. It's, you know, when people are visual learners or tactile learners,
yeah,
auditory learners.
Yeah.
People who are auditory learners really do well with this stuff, and you can hear what's right and what's not when you start
making
things. Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
The other thing you need is a good sound effect library.
kind of like the live one you've got there.
Yes.
Wow. Well, now you sent me a sample of what you do, and
now this sample has some material from Darker Projects. It's got a clip from In Order, The Falcon Banner, and Night Terrors, and then it's also got the ending piece is from my Western series from Colonial Radio Theater, which is called Powder River. And basically, after description, after that went away, kind of because the mandate disappeared, and we had all that nasty business going on. I fell in love. I found New Time Radio on the internet with an international cast list. You know, people from all over the world doing voiceover, and I thought, well, what a great way to get involved and do something I love. I have a whole cast base right here. I can cast, you know, from this whole international group, and it was a perfect fit. You know, I had a humongous sound effect library that I'd amassed from a friend who worked in the movie industry when I was out in L.A. And it's, you know, the fact that you can draw on that. Now, Colonial Radio Theater does it a little differently. Their cast is in-house. They actually record their dialogue live in the same room with each other. And so they don't have much need. They do occasionally have punch-ins. They have what we call punch-ins, which are actors from elsewhere that, you know, they just don't have the right voice that they want, so they ask me to call somebody up from Darker Projects and ask them.
Tell us what is darker pro- tell us a little bit about each one of these that we're about to hear. What is each thing?
Well, Falcon Banner is a space opera, and you know, think it's not. I wouldn't equate it with Star Trek. I would can be more likely to equate it with Battlestar Galactica, Babylon 5,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing, because it's mm-hmm. more of an ongoing story. Actually, it's an adaptation, an audio adaptation of the novel that was written by a guy called Christopher Patrick Lydon, and I wrote him an email saying how much I enjoyed it and how much I'd love to make it into an audio drama, and he said, go ahead. So we had adapted the script from an audio novel by Christopher Patrick Lydon, and we're actually not yet done with the first novel. We have four more episodes to create, to complete the audio, the first novel in the series, and then we'll do the next one.
Well, why don't we play some of these, and I will apologize to my listeners in advance because Mainstream is not yet in stereo, but boy, I really wish it were because this is some pretty cool stuff. And then once we listen to them, maybe you can tell us a bit about how you create these. How's that?
Sure.
All right, okay. Let's go for it.
What the hell?
Commonwealth ships, and they're in battle formation. Checking scanners.
Ansys attack group in the outer system.
He's right. They're mounting a full-scale assault with those troop transports.
We can't just attack. We're undercrewed and unprepared.
And then what?
Commander Durnham, general broadcast. Bear down on those transports. This is the HMS Excalibur. This is Imperial territory, and you are attacking one of our worlds.
Captain Tate, I told you to bring some hope. I didn't expect you to take me seriously.
I made a promise, Your Grace. But they appear to be ignoring me. I think I need to get their attention.
You're insane, Skipper.
When we're in range of those transports, vaporize them.
I wish you luck, Captain.
The missile destroyers are coming about. They've spotted us.
Nazim, defense batteries stand ready with countermeasures. You may fire when ready.
Firing 0.4.
Well, Samuel, it's 5:30. What do you say we get out of here?
Sounds good to me.
Make sure you turn off all of the equipment.
What about the tank?
I'll have the cleaning crew come in tomorrow and get it for me. I'm going to lock the lab tonight, so everything should be fine. To be safe, why don't you cover the tank with something?
Professor, the tank, it's filled with hundreds of bugs.
What do you mean? It has... Oh, dear Lord...
I'll set if you are.
Anytime. Jeb!
He's getting away!
Well, you scared him good. He's getting away. Come on, mount up.
Wasn't expecting him to bolt like that.
Shiloh, we're going down that ledge as fast as we can.
You can't gallop down that hill.
Why not? You back up.
Don't turn things around on me.
Shiloh, come on, Shiloh. Yeah.
Well, now I know where I get it from. Sahara! Yeah, that's right, boy!
Riding almost a half an hour, I hope so. I can see him in the turn. I can see him. I can't. Look, he just jumped over the side. Shiloh, come on, boy. Over. Now, boy, jump.
Sam, he's in the river. He's making his way to the bank. All right, we're almost at the bottom. Let's get Doc. Pa may need him. Hey, yeah!
Some very cool audio there, Chris. Wow. That's really great, man. That's an amazing skill you have. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you do this?
Well, a lot of work, I'll tell you. Well, I have a pretty substantial sound effects library, as I said, and so what I do is I take the basic building blocks of a scene is like the background, okay? So if you're on a hill or you're outside, you want birds or, you know, you want some kind of an establishing back noise. Like even in a room, you want a room tone or maybe a clock or, you know, something to give it a little bit of realism. And then you put the sound effects, well, then you put the dialogue on top of that, and you pan the dialogue from left to right, depending on where you want the person positioned in the room. So maybe some people are sitting across the table from each other, so you just keep that in the center. Maybe somebody's sitting to the left of the other person, and you want to have that person there, or even sometimes if somebody's behind some other person.
Gosh,
and you would want to try to put them behind, and you do that by inverting the WAV file into a different. You just invert it basically, and it flips the sound out, so it sounds like if you're wearing headphones, it sounds like they're behind.
It really does. And you know, we have a caller. Let's bring them on in. Hi there. You're with Chris and Marlena. Who's this?
Good evening, Marlena. This is Timothy from Halifax.
Oh gosh, Timothy, we can hardly hear you.
How are you doing?
There you go. That's a little better. Did you have a question for Chris?
I just want to find out where I can get those shows if they are free.
All right.
Well, you can get the science fiction ones. They are free. And the Night Terrors. The Night Terrors is the anthology of horror and suspense. That stuff is all in Darker Projects. And that website is just darkerprojects.com. And you can find all that stuff there. Also, they have podcast feeds available for those shows as well. We've just begun to charge briefly for the Night Terrors, $2 a piece on the older episodes, so to access the back catalog. You have to pay for those a little bit, but for the rest of them, for the most recent episodes, they are free. And for the Falcon Banners, they're all free, and many of the other ones are also all free. Cool. We've got other shows there, the Byron Chronicles. We have a couple of fan fiction stories, in other words, not sanctioned by their parent groups, but still fun from a fan perspective. We have Star Trek and Doctor Who.
Say that again, Timothy.
The Doctor Who ones are there too, eh?
Yeah.
Yes, we have Doctor Who. We have Doctor Who stories. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we have Star Trek, and we have even a Babylon 5 Crusade episode.
Cool.
So.
All right, Timothy. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye bye. And the telephone number to do that on is 866-666-7926. My guest tonight is Chris Snyder. Chris produces New Time Radio Audio Productions. If you're listening to this program at any time other than between the hours of 5 to 6 Pacific, 8 to 9 Eastern, or very early 1 to 2 on a UTC Monday morning, then you're listening to a repeat, and we'd like you to just put your feet up and enjoy the program. This is a great show tonight. Chris, we have another caller. Let's bring them in. Hi there, you're with Chris and Marlena. Who's this?
It's Kelly Saberja from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Golly, all my Canadians are calling, one right after the other. I knew you would like this program, Kelly. Go for it.
Hey, Chris. I just wanted to say I really enjoyed those samples on there. Those are great.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the first two ones there? The first two were the
Falcon Banner and Night Terrors.
Ah, okay. I'm going to have to check check those out. And my other question was, I thought I heard something about on the Darker Project site, it's a volunteer outfit.
Yes, yes. We don't pay our people, and I don't get paid, so it's all basically a labor of love. You know, we'd like to turn it into something like Big Finish in Britain, you know, where you can, where people, you know, work and we get money for it, but we're not there yet, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just was wondering, because if I, let's say, were to volunteer for, like, what would you be looking for?
Well, we could use post-producers, in other words, people who put the sound together like I do.
Well, let me interrupt for a second and show you, Chris, because Kelly, you happen to be in the playlist for my ID tonight. So this is who you're speaking to, Chris.
ACB Radio is brought to you by the American Council of the Blind. If you would like more information about the council, visit their website at www.acb.org. That's www.acb.org. ACB, the people that bring you ACB Radio.
So, there you go. A little shameless self-promotion
cool.
for Kelly.
Well, we can use post-producers. We can use musicians who would like to try their hand at scoring audio shows. You know, people who, you know, all that music that you heard in the Falcon Banner, in Night Terrors, and in the Powder River samples, that was all hand-composed by our people. Kai Hartwig from Germany did the first ones. Kevin McLeod did the Night Terrors, and Jeff Gage did the Powder Rivers.
Mm.
So, okay. I mean, we can definitely use people for that. We can use voice actors, of course. We love our voice actors. As long as you have a decent microphone, you know, and can send it to us in a high-quality MP3 file, in other words, 44 kilohertz, or WAV file even is the best, of course. That stuff, you know, we'll be glad to have you on and join and contribute. We love it.
Well, that sounds good. I may take you up on that.
Cool.
I think a number of our ACB Radio staff are probably listening and quite eager. So I'll make sure that you get a chance to give your contact information out at the end of the program.
Great.
Anything else, Kelly?
No, just wanted to basically say that I'm enjoying the program so far, and those samples were really good.
They're intriguing. They're intriguing, aren't they?
They sure are.
You should hear them in stereo. Ooh, they're fabulous. All right, thanks, Kelly.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
And the number is 866-666-7926. In our second hour, or whatever we don't use with Chris, we will be in open forum. And, of course, if you called during the first hour, you may call back in the second hour when we don't have a guest on. But you don't want to call back twice while we do. We want to make sure everyone who wants to call has an opportunity to do so. Where is your work heard now, Chris?
Well, Byron Lee plays a lot of it on the Talk Zone. What's the Falcon Banner, Night Terrors, another series called Dark Matter. So we get some on WTND. We also get some on Chris Peterson's show. It's called Chris's Radiotherapy, which is on the Wookiee Satellite Radio Network. We've had Night Terrors played on XM. We've had Powder River, all of the Powder, everything that's produced by Colonial Radio gets on XM eventually.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I bet you were, I mean, and we do have another call, so we'll bring you in just a minute, caller. It's always wonderful to, you know, to be on Wookiee and on WTND, and my shows are carried in both places, and I know, I mean, that just makes me very happy. But wow, I bet when you hit XM with your productions, that had to feel good.
It was pretty cool, especially because you know, we get a lot of, I think any blind audio producer that is listening to this show that has tried to break into the industry can definitely agree with me when I say that we get a lot of doubters in the sighted community thinking that blind people can't do audio. And oftentimes, in fact, there has not yet been a blind person in the United States over the past 10 years at least that has been admitted to a digital recording trade school, such as the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences. There's a school in Chicago. There's a couple in California.
Wow.
We don't get admitted to those places. In fact, even though they're accredited, they get away with completely discriminating against us. So, in a way, getting on XM is kind of a vindication.
Yeah, yeah. Let's bring this caller in, and then I want to know how you broke into the business, the story you told me on the phone today. That's a great story. But let's bring this caller in. Hi there, you're with Chris and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. Hap Holly in Chicago.
Oh, my friend Hap, it's been a long time.
Hi, Hap. I've heard you on the amateur radio.
Sorry to hear that. Chris, I really enjoy your dark projects. My favorite probably has to be the tow truck.
Oh, from the 5 Minute Fears series,
yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, in fact, I do. I'm on the podcast list for the darker project, the short, you know, little short ones. I think it's really I give you and folks like Byron Lee, and who's of course on ACB Radio, and others who do a lot with mixing sound effects with dialogue and music. Of course, what I do with my ham radio program, the Rain Report, it's strictly an interview series. However,
right,
I use SoundForge, and I can appreciate more than most, because I do some basic production work, the time and the timing and the creativity. And I really have never really had that much of a yen to get really involved with doing that. But having said that, I recognize it when it's done well. And of course, stereo. It is too bad that ACB Radio's main stream here isn't stereo.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there.
It's come a long way, of course. So I won't tie things up, but Chris, enjoy your production work, and
well, thank
I wish you well.
Thank you. You too.
Well, thanks,
nice
Hap.
Night.
And wait a minute, Hap, before you go.
Yes,
well, you
ma'am.
Can't get out of here that quickly.
Oh, sorry.
Sit down.
I tried.
Sit back down in that chair. Honest to gosh. Why don't you let everyone know how they can listen to your Rain Report?
Oh, okay, which is a ham radio program. So if you're a ham radio scanner or shortwave enthusiast, you can hear it as a downloadable MP3 or the podcast from www.therain, like the wet stuff, report, like weatherreport.com. No hyphen, no underscore, no underline, therainreport.com.
And about how long does it run each week?
Oh, it's typically anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes.
I may be giving you a call, my friend.
Well, we have talked about this.
Yes.
Before.
I have a little slot that is about a 15-minute slot that I would be very interested. So I'll drop you a note or give you a call.
That'd be fine.
Oh, you're a good guy.
All right. Good night, guys.
All right.
Thanks for being there, Marlena.
Thanks, Hap. You take care. Call me again.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Chris.
He is truly one of the good guys. That's Hap Holly out of Chicago. 866-666-7926. All right. I would love it if you would share the story with the listeners that you shared with me today that kind of, as I understand it anyway, got you going in this great endeavor.
Wow. Well, With Darker Projects, I came across one of their productions of Star Trek, and I thought, God, I have all the Star Trek sound effects I've been collecting for years in digital now, and I would love to give these to these guys. And I did a little demo for them for Eric Busby, who's the head of Darker Projects, and I showed him, and I said, you know, you're welcome to these. You can have them. I just, you know, would love to see your show continue to thrive. And he heard it, and he goes, no, I got a better idea. How about you do a production for us? And so that's how I got involved with Darker Projects, and then things just started spiraling from there. One of their other people, Mark Brzee, came up with the idea of Night Terrors, and we started there, and we just everything just started taking off. And then I secured the author agreement to the Falcon Banner, and we did that. And other shows have come and gone through since then. Also, in terms of Colonial Radio Theater, I heard some of their stuff on XM. I heard the first season of Powder River and the second season of Powder River, and I thought, these guys are amazing. I mean, even though the channel is in mono, the sound is great. I mean, these guys really know what they're doing, and I'd love to become a part of that. So I wrote to Jerry Robbins, who is the head of Colonial, and I said, I gave him my resume. I gave him this big, long list of all the stuff, you know, and I said, and I would just absolutely love to be a part of your production team. And he wrote back and said, thanks, but I work alone. I know how these shows ought to sound in my head, and I would prefer to keep, you know, this to my production. And he was really kind, but I wrote back and I said, well, what if you gave me a piece of dialogue from one of these shows that was unedited, and I will work with it, and I will produce it into a show or a part of a show, and you tell me if it matches your vision for what you wanted it to be. And he thought that was original, so he gave me the chance. And when I did it, he later told me that after he heard it and said to himself, you know, a few times, he said, that's what I should have done. Then he decided, cool, I'll bring him on. And so that's how I ended up producing the third and fourth season of Powder River, as well as their latest production of Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson, and also how I am producing, we're getting started on Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury.
Wow.
And that'll be released through Blackstone Audio.
Wow. And you see, what I love about that story and what I hope that our listeners will take from that story is that you knew that you had kind of some barriers to overcome, and, you know, you essentially didn't take no for an answer. Well, if I can't get my foot in the door this way, how about if I try it that way? And I think that shows great resourcefulness, and I think resourcefulness is something that us blind folks really have to have an abundance of in our lives. And if you hadn't done that, we wouldn't be talking today, I think.
Yeah, possibly not. But I have to say, Jerry is a fantastic guy. I'm one of those that believes that blind people really oughtn't, especially before you get a face-to-face interview, should not. I really do believe that you shouldn't tell people. I mean, it's up to
yeah.
It's individual choice,
yeah.
But that's the philosophy I follow.
Yeah.
And because I find that doors tend to slam rather quickly when that happens.
Yeah.
But I told Jerry after a few phone conversations, because he's in Boston and I'm in Arizona, and there's no way that I'm going to have a face-to-face unless we fly, you know, somewhere. And that's just silly if you're going to do things over the Internet anyways. So I eventually told him, and he said, oh, that's nice, and went on about talking about Powder River.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't care. And later he told me when I asked him about it, he said, are you kidding? I don't care whether you're blind or in a wheelchair or whatever it is. The point is, you do good work. Why would I care about that? That's silly. And I wish that the sighted community, especially the sighted community in the audio industry and the television industry, would take something from that and realize that that in fact we are quite as capable as they are.
Sure.
And that in some cases, I believe there are those of us who can run absolute circles around other sighted producers.
Well, yes, because I think that many of us listen for the little nuances. You know, for example, I was watching a movie today just before I called you, and it was, you know, a very modern movie, and it was, you know, probably took place in, oh, I'm just going to guess, like maybe around 2000, you know, 2002, 3, somewhere around there. Every phone in the movie except one had the modern phone sound, but they made a mistake and one phone had a bell. And yet when you listen to that, when you listen to them hang that phone up, you knew as well as anybody who could see that darn phone that it was a modern phone. It didn't sound like a phone with, I couldn't believe, I thought, oh my gosh, how could they let that go by? You know,
yeah, there are a lot of mistakes like that. And I really think that we could do better. In many cases. The other thing is, I would be totally remiss if I did not mention that my friend, we have now become friends, but when he emailed me, he was just some guy, and he wanted to do post-production for us, and for Darker Project, that is. And I said, okay, well, show me what you can do. You know, just create a demonstration of your abilities. And that's what anybody who wants to get involved with us, that's the first step. If you can create a little demo, it doesn't matter if your sound effects library is not good, because I will be happy to provide you with mine. You just show me what you can do, and that helps me to gauge where you are in terms of your abilities. Just create something. It doesn't matter if you do all the voices. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's just all, you know, music, if you're a composer or whatever. But that's how I gauge it. Resumes don't speak for themselves for me. I have to hear what people can do. But anyway, that's what I told this guy. And he did this fantastic demo. And I said, please come aboard. We would be so glad to have you. And as we talked on MSN, I'm really comfortable letting people, especially the people who are under me, know that I'm blind because it doesn't bother me.
Sure.
I don't have anything to hide from them.
Sure.
And I just told him. I said, something came up, and he says something about a webcam, and I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm blind, I don't bother with them. and he goes, oh, me too, I'm total. so he was doing the same thing that I was doing, and he's a fantastic producer from Australia, and I got him involved with Colonial Radio Theater as well. And he's now producing a series that's going to be released through Blackstone Audio for Colonial Radio called The Father Brown Mysteries. They're short stories by G.K. Chesterton.
Oh, sure.
From around the 20s. They're fantastic.
Sure, yeah.
And he's
just
doing such a great job. He's also producing a full-length novel adaptation of the novel Autumn by David Moody for Darker Project, and that's sort of a zombie post-apocalyptic Earth story. And it's full cast, full drama. And it's going to be a free download for anybody who wants it.
Wow.
And he is just, he's fantastic. So I wanted to give glory to another blind producer. Byron Lee is also doing some fantastic work for us. He's producing the fourth installment of the Byron Chronicles. No relation to him. The guy happens to be called Byron, and the guy who is producing it happens to be called Byron Lee.
Well, Byron Lee is just brilliant.
He just
astounds me. Now, Byron, if you're listening, I don't want your head to get too big, but he really.
Yeah, I'll
we
tell
are,
you too, Byron. If you're listening, please finish that show.
Byron, get that show done. Get off that radio station and get that show done.
Oh, he's brilliant. He's really good.
Tell us.
I'm glad to be working with these blind guys. And it makes me so happy that people are coming out of the woodwork now and saying, you know, that they're blind, that they can do this.
Yeah.
They will always get a chance with Darker Projects and any project that I'm involved in.
Tell us how long does it take for, and well, let's back up. Rewind. Blah, blah, blah. That's my sound effect for rewind.
Very good. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. How do you do it? I mean, do your actors record their parts from wherever they are and send them to you, and then you piece them together? How does it work?
That's how it works for Darker Project. Absolutely. And the trick is, you know, these actors they have to be more than just an actor. They have to have a really good imagination, too, because they have to sit there and imagine how the other person before them and or after them is going to deliver their line.
Yeah, it's kind of like doing voice breaks on a pre-recorded music show. You know, you got to you got to really pretend you're hearing that song and you're in just that mood, or you're up and in this mood and, like, you know, you're not going to hear it for 3 weeks or, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
So, wow, that's amazing.
It's tough for them, but they do it so well. We have some real incredible talent working for Darker Projects in the acting department, and as I said, people from all over the world. And it's just amazing how they can imagine what they need to imagine and say their lines. And on occasion, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes I have to get a retake. And when I do that, sometimes I have to send them the previous line to give them a hand. But mostly, it's just done so well. And then eventually I piece those together. I put those together in on top of the soundscape that I created, the room or the birds or whatever. And then on top of all that, once the dialogue is slotted in, then I add sound effects like footsteps, like doors, like telephones.
and I bet you get the right phones, too.
Yes, I do. but we, you know, that's how a scene is built. And then on top of all that, I lay in the music. And most of the time it's music composed for that show.
Now, do you do all, just to get a little bit technical here for a second, because I know some people won't know what we're talking about, so we won't go too far down, but there's a number who will. Do you do all of this with Gold Wave? Do you have any effects boxes, or what? How do you do it?
Everything I do is in the computer. I don't have any external equipment apart from my own microphone and preamp. What I do is I use Gold Wave with the Waves plugins. They have a lot of stuff in there like reverb, EQ. That helps me put the actors on the same page even if they're on totally different models of microphones.
Mm-hmm.
All the panning stuff is in Gold Wave. One of the reasons I really like Gold Wave is because you can input numbers into the panning fields rather than having to deal with a graph or a non-existent slider that JAWS or Window Eyes won't read.
Mm-hmm.
It's great about that. You can use number values rather than trying to just experiment, mm-hmm. if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also some presets for people who don't want to mess with the numbers. And there's a lot of effects available. And then, of course, because GoldWave supports DirectX, you can go find DirectX plugins on the net with extra effect, and you can use those.
That's amazing.
That's pretty neat. And I do use GoldWave for everything. Someday I'm going to go to a multi-track audio program someday, because right now I have to keep music versions of a scene and music-less versions of a scene.
Yeah.
And that way, if I need to redo part of a scene, I can just snip that part out and then patch it back in with
mm-hmm.
a new redo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically how I do it. But I understand that some people that in fact are in the ACB community have been making scripts to make Adobe Audition and what used to be Cool Edit accessible in the multi-track form. I just haven't had the time because I've been so swamped with all this stuff to learn it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so.
I have Gold Wave, I have Cool Edit, I have Sound Forge, and you know, even though I don't want to say nasty things about Sound Forge because the next time I go to use it, it'll probably bite me in the butt if I do. But you know, it's what I started on, you know, and
yeah, me too.
I just can't seem to. I look at Gold Wave and I'm like, what are you talking about? The green button and the blue button and the so then I go
and
back.
Pressing right and left brackets to mark your territory.
Yeah.
that you want to alter.
Yeah,
I know. I know exactly how you feel because I started on SoundForge myself. But once it got past, I think, 7,
yeah.
I started getting really confused, and it started becoming unstable. And when I lost, one day, the final straw was I was working on a project for Darker Projects, and I lost about half an hour of work.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just, oh, my Lord.
Oh,
my
gosh.
I was so upset.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, that's it. I'm getting out the Gold Wave manual, and I'm going to learn this. This is the trick to Gold Wave. I understand that there is a text file, and again, when I give out my contact info, anybody who wants it, I don't know if, because I don't see it on their site, but I will be happy to give them this file. It's a Gold Wave keyboard command file. It tells you all the keyboard commands and what they do.
Oh.
And it's a lot easier to understand than just the manual.
Oh, I'll be emailing you.
Okay.
But, and then the next question is, how long does it take you to do a, let's say we have an hour's production that you've produced and you've put it all together and so forth. How long does it take you to do that hour?
About, Well, it depends. It depends on the level of action. You know, if something that's just dialogue, like, let's say two guys are sitting by a fire and talking, that's nothing. That'll take me an hour and a half, 2 hours. When you get to something that's a little more intense, like some of the stuff I had in that clip where the, a battle is going on and stuff like that, then you have a lot more stuff to add. I did a saloon fight for Powder River that it is the longest saloon fight on radio, and I think possibly even in the history of radio.
Oh, my gosh.
From its inception, this possibly could be the longest saloon fight. I think it's like 7 minutes long.
Oh, my word.
It is insane. And they're knocking people over and turning over the bar and breaking the balcony and all just, I mean, this bar just gets demolished. It's fantastic. And it's in surround sound. Well, at least it's not in surround sound, but it's in where I inverted the wave file so that things can be behind you.
Oh, sure.
I want to differentiate that because surround sound is a totally different technology.
Sure.
But the point is that it took me, that piece alone, that 7 minute bit took me 7 hours.
Well, I believe,
put all that together.
I believe you because, and we have a call, we'll bring the caller in just a second here. I believe you because before I started doing this live program, I did a pre-recorded interview show. It was a half an hour, and of course, I didn't know what I was doing. I learned SoundForge as I went, you know, and my first edits were really rough. I mean, I made people sound like they had the hiccups a couple of times and, you know, but to get it to where I was finally satisfied, sometimes that half hour show could take me up to 10 hours to produce, and because I would pick up things that they said in one place, move it over to another place to make something flow. And so audio production is an amazing thing, and it can take time.
It's very tough work, and oftentimes it's very stressful, but the end result, when you sit back from your
craziness,
unplug those headphones, and if you just put it on and you sit back and totally disassociate yourself from the fact that you made it, you can sit there and enjoy something that you've created as a spectator, and it's just amazing.
Well, and after this comment, I will bring the caller in. I think for many of us, for me anyway, it's how I make things. You know, I have friends who knit and crochet and bake and do art. Well, this is my photography. This is my art.
Creating the soundscape, exactly.
Yeah. Let's bring the caller in. Hi there. You're with Chris and Marlena. Who's this?
My name is Danny, and I've got a quick question, and here goes. I've just tuned in, and I think that from the tiny bit I've heard, I take it you're recreating old-time radio-like shows.
Sort of.
New dramas.
New dramas, new people, new scripts. We don't recreate from old shows.
It's the same idea though.
Yes.
Well, I've got a question. Just for the sheer fun of it, are you mainly doing all this in Windows, or have you ever used a computer on another platform such as Mac or Linux?
Danny, you're my Mac guy, aren't you?
That's a good question, and in fact, I can tell you that I have used Pro Tools for Macintosh. Mainly that was done for the video description. However, I have mixed a couple of things in audio drama on a Pro Tools system. The positives and the negatives are kind of, I guess they're kind of balanced out, actually. There's not really one reason why I would pick it over another. Obviously, the best positive is that it's multi-track. You can lay things on. You can put people on different tracks and patch and push and nudge, and it's great.
Pro Tools is not yet workable for a total.
Well, now, I was using Pro Tools 6. No, excuse me, Pro Tools 5 with, OS 9.3, I think.
Okay.
Or something. Yeah, was using Outspoken back when Outspoken existed, and I was using an older Pro Tools, and it was fairly stable. It did have some really serious crash problems, though. That was the negative. But the nice thing was, of course, that Pro Tools has an auto-save feature. that was my extent of my Mac usage. I would love to give Pro Tools another try. once they have, and they are working on it, once they've updated to giving VoiceOver, which is the new screen reader that's built in, once their code is updated to make it accessible, I would love to give Pro Tools another go.
All right.
And have you ever done it with Linux?
Linux? No, I have not.
Okay. I've never recorded. I'd like to try my hand at this stuff someday. I don't know how or where to begin, but thank you for taking my call.
All right, Danny. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
We're just about to the top of the hour, Chris, so let me have you give your contact information and
sure.
How people can get a hold of you.
Okay. It's Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at darkerprojects, all one word, .com.
All right, that's Chris at darkerprojects.com. And can people just feel free to send you samples of voiceovers or whatever it
sure.
is they might?
Absolutely.
Okay. Great.
Yep. Usually we have a what we call a join us form on the webpage.
Mm-hmm.
However, for some reason it's got something going on with its scripting and it's not taking people like it should. So, you know, for now that's great. Send stuff to me and anybody that's listening, I will be happy to take you through that way.
And is that also true if you're interested in perhaps wanting to act in a part? What would, for example, I'm not a producer, but I sure would like to try my hand at acting. So what would I send you, for example?
You can just send me a sample of your. You don't even have to act. All you have to do is send me a sample of your voice.
Okay.
And well, since I've heard you, I can tell you that you're. You know, I've heard you in CD quality or whatever. You know, your mic, your stuff. You're fine. All you need to do is send me an email, and I can get you subscribed either to the mailing list or you can join the forums. By yourself that are on Darker Project. There are some. There's a forum for our members that they can join up on. But all you have to do is just send me a sample of your voice.
Well, that's
so I can see if your microphone is good. And if you want to act, that's even better because then I kind of have an idea of where I could use you.
Oh, that's really cool. That's very exciting. I may actually contact you. I have a number of voices and a number of accents, and I like to play with my voice. So
very cool.
Yeah. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating, and I appreciate that you took the time out. Will you come back again when you've got some new projects on? And I will be talking with you during the week about slotting some stuff in on mainstream.
Fantastic.
All right. Thanks,
well, thanks
so much, Chris. I appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. You have a good night.
You too.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
And we'll be back in right after this.
ACB Radio is brought to you by the American Council of the Blind. If you would like more information about the council, visit their website at www.acb.org. That's www.acb.org. ACB, the people that bring you ACB Radio.
And you are listening to the ACB Radio Mainstream, the Marlena program, as well as on WTND LPFM Macomb. I'm Marlena. We've got another hour to go. It's open forum. So anything you want to call and chat about, I will be very grateful and happy to have you join us. Wasn't that a fascinating interview? I truly do not know of any blind folks who aren't at least minimally interested in audio. I mean, it's just such our realm, really, as blind folks. And I just love it that sighted folks are finally starting to catch up with all the podcasts. And Chris has an old dear, we didn't ask Chris about his podcast link. He has over 3,000 listeners to his podcast. So perhaps if if Chris is listening or someone who knows Chris's podcast link, perhaps they can call us and tell us what that might be. And the phone number to call is 866-666-7926. Do you have memories of some radio dramas that particularly stick out in your mind? Boy, I sure do. Oh, man. There is an old-time radio program that is called The Dark. And it was with Arch Obler. And, oh, my gosh, there was one program that absolutely scared the bejeebers out of me as a teenager. Radio, old-time radio had pretty well phased out. Radio drama had pretty well phased out in my teenage years. And there was one disc jockey in Boston who played it in the middle of the night. And I used to listen to this one disc jockey all of the time. Well, Dick Summer was his name, and he played this incredibly frightening, oh my gosh, Arch Obler piece about a thing that could turn humans inside out. And the sound effect that was used for turning the human inside out was the sound of removing a rubber glove from the hand. Now, I gotta tell you, if I wish I knew the name of that particular piece, because it's one of the most frightening radio dramas I can remember hearing. Another one is one that I believe came out of the Escape series of programs, and it was called The Three Skeleton Key. And these people got, as I recall, let's see, their ship was wrecked, and they made it to shore, and there was a lighthouse there on the shore, and they went into the lighthouse and thought they'd be fine there till all these rats started coming. And the rats broke the windows. I mean, there were hundreds of rats coming. And in the production, you hear all these squeaking rats. And, oh, my gosh. And they're up in the tower of the lighthouse, and the rats are clinging onto the windows. Oh, gosh. And this one guy totally loses his mind, goes completely insane, stands up against the window with his face toward the rats, and he's going, oh, my little beauties. And they surround him, and he steps away, and the only clear part of the glass was where he had been standing. And he, I'll never forget, his line was, oh, look at that, my shape in rats. Oh, my gosh. We have a caller. Thank heavens. Maybe the caller will rescue us. Hi, I'm Marlena. Who's this?
There is no rescue for you.
Oh, my gosh. It's Gary the Board Guy. Oh, my.
You can't escape.
I can't escape. Oh, and he's just in the other room.
When you started describing that first Arch Obler program, I had to call because...
Yes?
I studied that program in my radio and TV production classes when I was in college.
Oh, my gosh!
And there's an interesting story behind that particular program. You got the
yeah,
sound.
Yes.
By putting rosin on an old red rubber inner tube, and then, as you say, pulling it down your arm.
Oh, so that's what it was. I thought it was a glove.
And then the biggest problem they had with that one was, how do you how do you make the sound of breaking bone?
Oh, gosh. Listen,
the bones have to break.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And they broke everything in sight. They broke wood. They broke twigs. They broke everything I could think of. And the sound effects guys just could not come up with the right sound. And somebody had a lifesaver in his mouth, and he crunched it.
Oh,
and
gosh.
And somebody said, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Let's put a microphone up to your mouth and do that again. And that's what it was, is a guy crunching a lifesaver.
Wow, that's
like
amazing. That's amazing. Well, and
so there is a little bit of trivia for you for that. And it was a couple of ambulance drivers that drove out to an old house way out in the country to pick somebody up. And they went into this house. And there was nobody there, and they were looking for somebody, and they went into this room, and there was a mist.
Yeah.
And
how did they make the sound of the mist? Because the mist went shh.
You know, I don't remember how they did the sound of the mist, but they had all the footsteps and the doors and everything else.
Do you remember the name of the show?
I don't. I'm going to have to go back and look it up.
See?
It's a terrific show.
Oh, it's one of the best. And, you know, there's another one that you and I experienced together that was done in real time. Do you remember? And this lady was...
the one that was trying to keep her husband from being executed.
Yeah, and she
was on the phone.
Yeah, and she'd be like, I only have 11 minutes left, and
there were only 11 minutes left
in the show. Oh, it was just, but I can't remember. That wasn't Dial M for Murder, but I can't remember that the name of it, but there have been some.
This is a little bit off topic, but there was a television show, not a television, but a movie, the very famous movie that was done in real time called High Noon.
Oh, of course, John Wayne. Oh, Gary Cooper. Yeah.
And that was done in real time also. But those kinds of programs are difficult to do, and they're really, really effective.
Well, yeah, and it's, I mean, particularly the sound effects stuff. That's pretty amazing.
Well, when I was doing the radio part of my radio and TV production, which most of it was radio, actually, we did a lot of work in sound effects. A lot of fun.
But
I would have been a good sound effects guy. That would have been fun.
That was back in the days, though, with reel-to-reel, wasn't it?
We had a... in our studio, we had an RCA reel-to-reel... Well, we had a magnacorder in there, actually. We had a big RCA reel-to-reel, and then we had a magnacorder. The magnacorder would take 7-inch reels. And that thing ran so fast that we had to use metal reels on it, because if you had a plastic reel on it that was not in good shape, it would just shatter it, and you would have tape and plastic buried all over the place.
Wow. How times have changed.
Yes. Well, I'll get off here so somebody else can call.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Gary, the bored guy, all the way from the other room.
All right.
See ya.
See you later.
Okay, well, have dinner together, huh?
Yeah, right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. It's about 10 minutes past the hour. We'll be with you till the top of the hour. Would love to have your calls, even if you... only want to talk about what you did this week. It is open forum, although, man, I love the sound effects stuff. I really, 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 really do. You know, I sometimes enjoy the podcasts that I get that are the least professionally done, where people are wandering around their house. You know, I just love the sound of that. And I love, for example, now this will show you how strange I am. I love the sound of running water on audio, or a sink full of water in audio. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. This is Charles.
Hello, Charles. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, and I'm enjoying your show tonight. Yes, those stories you talked about, you know, that one story, it actually was called The Dark, where they turned the people inside out.
Oh, that was the name of it, The Dark?
Yes.
That's right, because the series is Lights Out.
Yes, that's right.
Ah, okay.
Lights Out.
Lights Out.
Yes, and and actually they put that out on an album, on a Capitol album, and they called it The Dark. And they had a whole bunch of stories, because what they were doing, it was where Arch Obler was showing how he wrote the stories and how the different ways you could scare people.
Well, he sure as heck scared me.
Yeah, and the other one on The Escape, I love that one. It was called The Three Skeleton Key.
Yes,
with
yes.
With Louie. Yes, he put
yes,
himself up
yes,
against the glass.
Yes, yes, yes. And he said, oh, look at that, my picture in rats.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I've got those on my, I have those on cassette.
Wow. Oh, my gosh, you should digitize them, Charles, so nothing happens.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, there are several things on the website, I mean, on the Internet. There's a Bill Sparks thing, and I have his catalog in Braille.
Yes.
And he labels, I like the Speed Gibson series, even though it's a kid's story. It's about the international, you know, police. And so I got the catalog, and he said, I'll send you a free CD. And I go, well, how about the Speed Gibson series? So
wow.
I got that one, and I just love those, because I grew up with them just like you did. And the one that Gary was talking about, I have that. I bought it at a music store, or a store where they sell, you know, tapes and stuff.
Sure.
And it was The Mist by Stephen King. But I can't, it was NPR. Remember when NPR used to do, like, NPR Playhouse?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then they also did a thing where they were talking about the binaural sound, and they did the shows. And I can't remember the name of it, but they had a whole bunch of them, and that's where that was. And I think they might have did The Mist, like, using air holes or something, you know, like a little compressor.
Well, even in the dark, though, remember the thing that turned you inside out was mist.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I was wondering, how they did that.
Yeah, I think they could have used a little air thing, you know, had the motor back somewhere so you couldn't hear the sound of the compressor, and just did like a spray.
See, I thought it sounded more like steam coming out of pipes. You know, I thought
yeah.
it...
Yeah.
But, I mean, I haven't heard it in years, but I thought it was more a shh
yeah.
sound.
And then, of course, if you remember War of the Worlds...
Oh, yes, yes.
That 23-year-old guy, I don't know about him.
Yeah.
He panicked everybody.
Yeah, that was pretty. And I don't know if you have heard Troy Thane's production. Troy has something called Fear You Can Hear.
Yes, I'm on that.
Ah, so am I. So am yes. I. I haven't.
And you can download shows.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot with it yet, but Chrissy Cochran at Christmas time on her interactive show played Troy's War of the Worlds, which is just phenomenal. I mean, it's
yeah.
just amazing.
Do you know of a way? Now, see, I download the show, but boy, there's like some that are a bunch of shows, and so what I do is I download some at a time, because there's a bunch where they got like 400 shows or something. Or is there a way to download them all at once?
You know, I don't know, because I haven't really used the site yet. I've joined, but I haven't really played with it yet.
Okay, well, when you go on there, all you do is you go to, you know, say like, if you go to Gunsmoke, okay, you go to where it says all files, and then you bring that up, and you'll see, like, it'll have 200 files, and then you download each one.
Right.
You know, because
yeah.
it's a show. But it's pretty neat. And also, I have some friends that live up in the, up there where you live in Seattle. Al and Connie Gill.
Oh, sure. I know Al and Connie.
Okay. Well, do you, Al, he's an old time radio guy, and he goes to that, that radio club up there.
Oh, okay.
It's called the Frets or something like that.
Yeah.
And he goes to that, and he wants us to come up sometime. He said, I think we ought to go up when they have the showcase, because he was telling us that they show the sound effects, and they have the sound men and stuff like that.
Wow. Wow.
So if you ever get a chance, although what he does is he goes to the chapter meeting, and then on the last half, he has to go over to there. But he said they actually show how they do all those sounds, and they have the scripts, and the people can actually participate.
Wow, that's fun. Wow. I'll have to ask Al about that the next time I see him. I just saw him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he comes down once in a while, and he makes his rounds, and every time he does, he calls us up, and he says, well, we're going to go out to breakfast. Do you want to come? And so that's how we get together. And he brings his old-time radio with him, because he has the Victor player.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And he has the Plex Talk, and
sure.
he's learning to use that. And then, of course, I used to get the catalog from Bob Herman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, he does, too.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, if you come across that show that Gary and I were talking about where the woman's trying to make the phone calls to spare her husband from being executed, let me know.
Oh, I could tell you where you could find that.
Okay.
You could go to, I have it labeled as My Old Time Radio. That's Choice. Go in the suspense section. And
okay.
It's called Sorry, Wrong Number with Agnes Moorehead.
No, I don't think that's the one.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, because, see, they got it from the movie.
Okay.
And, you know, they always had, and so that's why they had Agnes Moorehead on there. And is it the one where she's supposed, like, oh, dear, my husband's not coming home, and so she's trying to call her husband, and when she does it, she hears,
No. That's a whole other one. Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. This one, and I'm going to let you go after this, but this one is her husband has been accused of a crime, and Gary's saying yes, it is, but I don't think it is. We'll get it and see.
Her husband, I think, was trying to plan her murder.
Right. That's Sorry, Wrong Number.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but this one, I remember it differently, so I'll have to go download it and listen and then figure out if, in fact, that's the same one.
Okay.
All right.
And, when will you have your thing about Ronnie Millsap?
Oh, I know. I knew somebody would ask. I knew. Soon.
Because I like to hear it, like you said, in its entirety. I mean,
yeah.
You know, just as you recorded it, because that was great.
I promised to start working on it this week.
Okay.
Okay.
You're doing a fantastic job. Keep it up, girl.
Oh, thanks so much, and give Venus my love.
I sure will. And if we ever get up to Seattle to visit Elle, we'll see if we can get a hold of you guys. It'd be kind of nice.
You better, because we'll join you.
And hello to Gary in there.
All right. Thanks, Charles.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I have the nicest people who listen to this show. I really do. Ah, and here's another nice person. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
The podcast feed.
Oh, there's Dr. Bishop. Yes, indeed. Did you
this
catch...
This took a little bit of work, though.
Did you catch the first hour?
No.
Oh,
I was involved in an AC Diabetics in Action board meeting.
Oh, how sad for you. Well, how good, lucky for them, but
indeed.
Sad for you.
Indeed. And then I had to answer questions from Shirley Roberts all about why her Pac-Mate would crash on the ACB Radio Interactive schedule page.
Oh, well, I bet Shirley's listening. all right, what is the podcast feed?
So I called Byron because Byron Lee is all-knowing of...
I know, Byron the Brilliant. Is Byron listening to the show?
No.
Oh!
Or else I think maybe he is. I don't know.
Oh, Byron.
So he and I were talking, and I said, well, this is a podcast where there are 3,000 listeners. And he goes, well, each of the Darker Projects is a podcast, and I'm not really sure which one. So we're making a guess as to which one this is.
All right.
And this is the Falcon Banner podcast. And it's at feeds.feedburner.com/thefalconbanner.
FalconBanner.
Let me... You'd think I'd be ready.
You'd think you would, yeah. but that's okay.
Yeah, so FalconBanner.
We have plenty of time for you, Dr. Bishop.
Yeah, I'll stumble my way through it, just like everything else I do.
So it's at feeds.feed, and that's http://feeds. You don't do the www.
feeds.feedburner.com/thefalconbanner.
/thefalconbanner.
It's a space soap opera type adventure.
Ooh. Oh.
So what is this, Troy? Oh, this Roy website you're talking about?
It is, I don't know. Let's see. Fear You Can Hear, I think, .net. FearYouCanHear.net.
Oh, and if you're free?
Yes, if you're a blind person, it's free. Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Very interesting.
And in fact, if you'll tell my listeners what's coming up on Main Menu, I'll verify that that's the address.
Okay, I'll do that. This week on Main Menu, we're doing all things Olympus. So in the first hour, we're going to be hearing from Neil Ewers. He's going to do an in-depth review of us of the DS-50. And then in the second hour, we will be hearing from Neil himself, live and in person, or at least live and on phone anyway, Randy Knapp, Don Barrett, and myself. Daryl will not be joining us for a few weeks on Main Menu, as he's going to be preoccupied with some things. And in that hour, we're going to answer anyone's questions on the Olympus, and we're going to talk keyboards, musical keyboards. And we're going to talk about Band in the Box.
Oh, what's Band in the Box?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Stevie Wonder.
Oh, what are we going to say about Stevie Wonder?
We better
say nice
how
things.
Randy Knapp actually trained Stevie Wonder in his music studio.
Randy trained Stevie where?
In his musical studio, his music studio.
Oh! You mean on computer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Computer technology and things. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's going to be an interesting show.
Wow.
And whenever you get Don, myself, and Randy together, that's always
it's a frightening thing.
Yeah, you never know what's going to be heard. So. Yep, that's what's coming up this week. And then the following week, we're going to have Brian Hargen on, at least in the first hour. And we're still somewhat planning the second hour, but we think we know what that is. It just depends. He needs to get back to me. So we won't mention that quite yet. But he's going to talk to us all about JSAY version 5. And I asked him if he would be supporting Vista, and he said, I cannot tell you right now, but I'll have an answer.
Ah, there you go.
Which means that it might support it. I don't know. I don't really know what that means.
Wow.
So you'll just have to come and find out like I do.
Well, yeah. And I know Charles is probably screaming because he knows the website for Fear You Can Hear, but all the ones I'm trying aren't working. And the one that did work said, our server is down because our ISP is moving. So I don't think I'm on the right track here at all. So Charles, you can call. We will give Charles permission to call back
that Western
twice
that
in an hour. Yes.
I caught a couple of seconds of the show.
Yeah.
I turned it on and you were playing a Western thing.
That was the tail end of the production that he sent.
Yeah. Is that available on Darker Projects?
No, that was Powder River. And Powder River is done by Colonial Radio Theater, and Chris produces for Colonial Radio Theater.
Are those free too?
I don't know, but I know that they're heard on XM radio.
Wow.
I mean, this guy's fabulous.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm going to listen to the first hour here in, you know, just a few minutes. And,
yeah.
I would love to find out more about that website. That'd
yeah.
be interesting.
Well, you know, you can get
all... I'll email Chris.
Yeah, chris@darkerprojects.com, I think he said. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's .net.
No, I think it's com. There's, you know what? There's too many .dot things. There's
yes, and there's being there's more being added.
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
There's .us and .in. What is it? .info.
.info. .name. .ws. .us.
Wait. What's ws?
Website.
Oh, of course. What a stupid question.
.org. Of course.
.org. Golly.
Name.
Oh,
you should have Marlena.name.
That's okay.
Why? Maybe I'll buy that for you for Christmas.
No, that's okay. You have to help me get my Google list up and going.
Yeah, well, mine has a slight problem. It appears as though when people subscribe, even though they're subscribed, it sends them a message that says they're not.
Well, mine. I subscribed me and I subscribed Gary, and the email is marlenashow@Google. What is it?
Google Groups.com. Okay, well, I will try to subscribe to it, and I will send a message.
Yeah, well, it may go into the great big bit bucket in the sky.
Well, that's
but...
pretty typical of email these days.
Yeah. I would like to fix it up, because what I'd really like to do with this list is have an opportunity, a place where people can go and get to know each other, number one. And number two, talk about things that have been talked about on the show, you know?
Yeah, well, we started the main menu list, and we already have 20 or 30 subscribers to that.
Yeah.
The traffic was unbelievable just in the first week.
Well, mine could be, but
we were talking all TV tuner cards and
wow.
all kinds of crazy, weird, wacky stuff.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. That
yep.
is cool.
Like I have, you know, enough email to reply to.
Well, I have my replay AV set to record something at 8 o'clock tonight, my time. So.
Oh, what are you recording?
I'm recording the Imagination Theater that's airing on KIXI in Seattle. So.
Ooh.
And I never get to listen to it, so.
I love that. I never
know.
Get to hear it. KIXI?
KIXI, yeah.
Is that in the media guide?
No, I had to go, you talk about skulking for the goofy URL.
Well, I am me the URL later.
I will.
I would love to add that.
I will do that very thing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you on Main Menu.
Good night, Dr. Bishop.
Goodbye.
866-666-7926. It's just about half past the hour. We've got close to a half hour more of this insanity tonight, and we've got another call. If you are listening to this program at any time other than 6 to 7 Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern on a Sunday night in North America, or 2 to 3 on a very early UTC morning, it's a repeat, and put your feet up and just relax. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. My name is Peter O'Donohue. How are you today?
I'm just fine, Peter. How are you?
Good. I am new to your program. It's the first time I've listened to it.
I'm delighted to have you.
Well, I am also an individual in New York State who has a question for you.
Yes.
Which I would like you to distribute to your listeners.
All right. Well, you're doing it your very self.
I am. I am on the advisory committee for the New York State Courts on the Americans with Disabilities Act. And we are curious as to how we can make our courts, and more specifically, how blind jurors, how we can help them to be jurors on our trials.
What a great topic this is. Now, have you ever served on a jury?
Personally, I've been called for jury duty but I am also blind, but I'm also a judge.
Oh.
And when I was called as a juror, nobody wanted me to sit there.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Very interesting.
However, other judges, cited judges, have sat on cases, but at that particular time, they didn't want me to sit.
Yeah. Now, do you think it was because you're blind or because you're a judge?
Under those circumstances, it was because I was a judge who was very familiar with the it was a criminal case, and I was very involved with criminal cases.
Ah, sure, sure. Well, I guess that's understandable. Can I talk to you for a minute? I'd love to know how you, and then we'll get back to your question, I promise, but I would love to know how you work in the courtroom. I mean, are you a criminal judge? Are you a?
Right now, I'm a civil judge.
Ah, okay. But even still, I mean, I've had experience in civil court, certainly not as a defendant, but I used to do a fair amount of mediation, and sometimes my cases, I was in consumer protection, and sometimes my cases simply couldn't be mediated, and we'd all end up in civil court, and there's a fair amount of visual evidence that is presented. How do you manage that?
The only difficult problem is when it involves pictures. Everything else is manageable.
Mm-hmm.
So what I normally do is, well, first of all, you have to consider that the jurors are the fact finders.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to pass on the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
When I am called to call upon the pictures, I will take three separate people, such as my clerk or my court officer or my secretary or my law clerk, or I'll take three different people individually,
mm-hmm,
outside the presence of the others, and say, okay, describe this to me. And three people will do that, and then I'll reach my own conclusions.
Wow, that is just, have in years gone by been very close friends. He's left us now, but with Reese Robron, who was one of the early staff people in the ACB national office, and Reese was a judge in Kansas back in, gosh, I'm going to guess and say the late 60s, early 70s, in and around that time frame. And
you're hitting yourself, Marlena.
I know. Oh, Peter, let me tell you, it gets worse. It gets a lot worse.
Uh-huh.
But I have always so admired people who, blind folks who have gone on to hold positions in the courtroom to be judges, because people traditionally think that that's such a visual thing, and I think it's not.
It's not. It really is not.
Yeah. All right, now back to what you really called about, which, wow, I would like to have you as a guest sometime on my program, actually.
It would be my pleasure.
I'll make sure you have my email address before we hang up. It's very simple. But so you are seeking information about making the jury experience more accessible for blind people?
Yes.
Well, I was once called for jury duty, and I was not able to make it, and because I had a business commitment, and they agreed. I think I had a business trip to Hawaii or something. It was a big thing, and so I was excused. Before,
however, you did make it to the jury pool.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay,
but
how did you get there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I just answered all the right questions, or all the questions the right way. But I have to tell you, and I'm not particularly shy, as you can probably guess.
I can tell that.
Yeah. I was scared to death. I was like, oh man, what am I going to do if this, you know, if this happens and I have to look at pictures or, you know, how am I going to make sure that the other jurors listen to me with the same weight that they are listening to the sighted jurors? I mean, it was a scary thought.
That's one question we have to figure out. Sure there are other questions that we have to figure out.
Yes. If people want to get a hold of you to give you some input, how do they do that?
Well, I was hoping that you and your program, which I will listen to every week, would give you some feedback.
All right.
I can give you my cellular phone number, but I'd rather not do it over the air.
I wouldn't want you to do that. I wouldn't want you to do that over the air. Well, let's see what our callers say. We've still got some time in this hour. We've got about another 20 minutes, give or take. And, I think it's a fascinating topic.
Well, Marlena, I'm going to listen for the next 20 minutes, and I will listen to you next Sunday night. It's every Sunday, right?
It's every Sunday, yep.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm a first-time listener. I was introduced to your program by Steve Gera here in New York.
Sure.
And he told me to listen, and he told me to run the question by you.
All right. Well, and we always have to do what Steve tells us to do because he's got all those aids and devices, and, you know, he could probably set them off on us or something remotely, so...
He keeps trying with me, but he's not getting too far.
He's a great guy.
He's a good guy.
All right, Peter. Well, thank you so much.
All right, I'll talk to you again.
All right. Have a good one.
Be well.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926 is the number. Let's bring in the next call. Hi there, caller. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Well, hi, it's Daryl Shandro.
Well, hi, Daryl Shandro. Have you ever served on a jury?
Unfortunately, no, I've not. We've both been called for jury duty, but nothing's ever happened.
So what happened when you got called?
Well, just, it's kind of one of those cases where a reader tells us about it and it's already passed. It's already
I see. So you didn't get to even
It's not a deliberate thing either.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
You know, it's like a week ago or something. And,
well,
you,
and,
you know
and,
how that is. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's one of the issues that Peter might be interested in hearing is that, you know, when you only send print summonses, there is an initial barrier potentially for some blind folks. So, you know, with telephone technology the way it is now, why not send a print summons as well as do, you know, an auto call.
Yeah, I think that they should certainly try, at least. I've always been curious. You know, it's happened to Karen and I both a couple of times. I've always been curious if someday somebody's going to, you know, an officer is going to come to the house, you know what I'm saying, and say, you know, well, you ignored a jury summons because I know that, I guess, technically there can be a warrant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can bust you big time.
but I would challenge them to do that, considering as I'm blind and they don't notify me
sure.
in any other manner.
Sure. Yeah.
But a couple of things. I hope you have Peter on. By the way, that would be a very intriguing show.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I will give my email. Peter, if you are listening, and I'll do this again at the end of the show, the email address for me is Marlena. It's spelled Marlaina at acbradio.org. And if you forget it, just ask Steve and he'll tell you. All right. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, I'd like to cover a couple of quick things. One is related to the first hour of your show, and
yeah.
One is not.
All right, go for it.
Okay, well, so first of all, I was able to listen to most of your first hour, and it was pretty neat stuff that you had on there from Chris, and I listened to some of the stuff from Darker Projects, and it's pretty cool. But I was, as an accessibility advocate, I was very, very disturbed about the apparent, you know, blatant failure to admit blind people into these programs.
Yes, yes.
You know, audio and media type programs.
Yes.
You know, I guess those people are just glad that I didn't decide to pursue that, because I would not be such an easy dismissal.
Yeah, yeah. That struck me as well, and you know, it would be interesting to get some additional information from Chris, so that it might be something that that ACB could take a look at. You know,
absolutely.
I mean,
it was very disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, audio is as natural to some of us as videography is to some sighted people, and
really, honestly, that should be. You know, because they're in some countries of the world, they have some occupations, you know, like massage and stuff that are like the domain of blind people. You
yeah.
can't get in if you're sighted, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be that. Audio should be that way.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, I agree.
The other issue is that, you know, kind of Jeff alluded to things going on, and unfortunately, I have a retinal detachment.
Oh, man.
So I've had a lot of eye surgery already, and my cornea is so clouded. They were going to look into a new corneal procedure for me, and a keratoprosthesis.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that they did was, well, we're going to send you to a retinal specialist just to make sure everything is okay in the back of your eye. And the only way they're going to be able to do that, since your cornea is so clouded, is to use an ultrasound scan. So they did the ultrasound scan on this past Tuesday, and the doctor says, oh, you appear to have a retinal detachment. And then so I got a second opinion from a totally different retinal specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yep, you have a retinal detachment. So I have surgery on the 26th of this month, believe it or not, that quick.
Wow.
And I have my commission meeting this coming Tuesday, so I can't do main menu then. But anyway, I have this, and they're going to do cornea transplant plus laser plus vitrectomy. They're going to do all this surgery, 4 to 6 hours worth of it.
Now, did you have some sight?
Yes.
How much sight did you have?
Oh, probably. They was small enough that they really didn't bother measuring it, but I could see colors,
mm-hmm.
even and shapes, and even some very, very, very large print.
And have you lost that now?
Yeah, I had some complications from my cornea transplant that I had a little over 2 years ago, and then but they were fairly minor compared to what happened last summer. Last summer I started noticing just a huge drop in my sight, and at the time everybody thought it was just, you know, the continuing hazing of my cornea,
mm-hmm.
ejection of my cornea. And so then I go and find out that that it's a retinal detachment, and that it probably happened over the summer, and we want to do surgery in 2 weeks max, if not sooner.
Wow, that's really amazing. And then what will your recovery be?
I will have all kinds of drops and ointments to put in my eye for months. And I will have, hopefully my vision could go back to the way it was after I had my last cornea transplant.
Boy, that's
better, but.
That's, well, our thoughts and prayers will be with you for sure. That's.
So I would like to ask, now I've figured out how to do, you know, I know how to do my own eye drops. That's not really too hard. But I am wondering, and I don't know if you know this or, you know, something to think about. I know the show is almost over, but maybe next week or whatever, if there's any open forum or whatever. Because I'm not sure what kind of list to ask this question on, but how would an almost totally blind person put ointment in their eyes without the possibility of contacting the surface of their eye with the tip of the...
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to that. You know, my off the top of my head, I guess I might try getting someone to show me just how long to squeeze the tube. And squeeze it onto something sterile, like, you know, a small sterile gauze pad, and then applying it to the eye that way. But boy, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, and then the other thing with doing that is that's directly the surface that's being transplanted. So that's even doing that's kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's
cornea surface.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know, but I bet somebody will have some ideas.
So right now, unfortunately, you know, my answer has to be to have sighted help.
Yeah.
Because I can't really see any other way that's safe.
Yeah.
That. So.
Yeah. Well, let's see if anybody has any thoughts about it.
All right, Marlena. Well, thanks for having me on and having a great show. We always like your shows.
Oh, thank you so much. And really, you hang in there, Daryl. This is a hard time, I know, but...
I won't see it ceased on there. Tell me I can't go now.
Yeah, yeah. That's certainly understandable. That's regrettable, but understandable. So next year, we'll just have to work you all the harder.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right, will you give my best to Karen?
I will, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Daryl. Okay. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. That is not good news. That is just, you know, it's certainly a difficult thing when someone in the family, if you will, and you're all in the family, but when one of us goes through this kind of thing, it's not easy, and Daryl needs our prayers and support and friendship. So all right, let's bring in this caller. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena, this is Matthew from Ohio.
Matthew, where have you been?
All over the place.
I have not heard from you in so long.
Well, I've been all over the place, just not with you guys.
I am so glad you're here now. That's all that matters. What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot. I went out today and bought a new PC. I'm listening to you on the old one right now, but I bought a new PC.
Oh, what'd you buy?
An HP. I'm not sure the exact model.
Good for you.
Unfortunately, because I guess it's not so unfortunate, but I have Windows Vista, Home Basic, and then I got a 512 meg of RAM, so, and 160 gigs of drive space. A couple of things I wanted to mention, ask about. One is the XM, you said you have XM satellite radio?
I do.
How is that? I hear it's... because right now I'm serious, and I'm seriously thinking about switching.
There's no pun there, right? I'm serious, and I'm seriously thinking about switching.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I do not have Sirius, so I can't compare them at all. I like XM. I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know, Sirius went down in my estimation when they added a certain broadcaster.
Yes, I know who you're talking
to their
about.
Lineup.
I think it's gone down quite a bit, too. I have to agree there.
Yeah. And
but, no, I'm seriously thinking about switching, for the fact that I want to be able to catch the baseball games because you can't catch them on Sirius, you know.
Yeah, and see, and I like the football, too, and you can't get the NFL on XM, so,
yeah, so
you know.
It's like some people got both of them for the fact that they can get both seasons. But, but anyway, the other thing that I was going to mention was somebody I was talking to today wanted to know, and you probably don't play the games, but on the Braille Note, M-Power, because they're getting one, they wanted to know about, what games does it come with? Because they were kind of curious about that.
Oh, if I had my M-Power next to me, I would tell you. But, oh, dear, I should know. But let's see. Gosh, I haven't played them in so long. They're the sort of the Infocom games. And you can put other games on that are the, what is it, the Z... files or something like that. I'm not a big gamer.
I'm not a huge gamer either.
Yeah.
I'm not as much as I used to be. But
yeah. But
I'm kind of asking this on behalf of a friend who wanted to know.
Well, if you can find those old text games, they'll probably run on the Braille Note.
Yeah.
You know, like Hitchhikers.
That's what I told her. I said they're mostly text adventure games.
Yeah.
A lot of people...
Like Zork and, Zork and Hitchhiker and, I'm not sure that Zork and Hitchhiker are, I think Hitchhiker is on there. I think. I can't remember. If I had it next to me, I could just go right to the games and tell you, but, but good for you for getting the HP. I have an HP that I am transferring
to. Here's my thing because right now my hard drive that I'm using now has all my music and stuff on it. I need to be able to get that onto my new computer so that I don't have to waste time trying to re-rip it all.
Yeah.
So that's going to, I think I might be able to use my, because it's mostly music and stuff, I might be able to use my dad's external drive and use that and put it on there and then.
Well, do you have the capability of... hooking more than one computer? I mean, if you just, if you put the HP and your existing machine,
I could do file sharing, yes, but where am I, but, you know, it's like
well, no, that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is move everything over, instead.
Oh, I have no way to do that because, it's not like I have a network cable or anything where I can do that.
I see.
Because we're wireless, and so that's why I was talking about file sharing. I could probably do it that way, but, either way, I'm going to have to transfer it all.
Well,
I'm not going to sit there and rip everything
over. Can your HP take a wireless card?
It has built-in wireless in it.
Okay.
Actually.
So then, and you're wireless now?
Yeah. But so, I'm using, on the old computer, I have a USB piece that, USB adapter that has, that keeps me connected to the internet. It can be a pain sometimes because it cuts in and out, but it's there and it works.
So is it, but do you have a router?
Yeah.
So.
And I'm sharing it with like five or six other computers, three or four other computers.
Right. So why don't you just put your HP on till you get the music?
Yeah, well, I'll have to, I have ways of getting it done. I'll just have to, I can borrow my dad's USB hard drive and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have to, and then of course, I was also going to tell you, and this brings up my next thing. I'm seriously going to do this. I was going to sign up for the lease to own thing for WindowEyes because I got, I use JAWS now, and of course JAWS hasn't been, upgraded yet to support Vista because that's what I have. But, but I'm going to get the lease-to-own program so I can get window eyes eventually.
Oh, well, that is an interesting program that UW Micro
offers.
Yeah,
I've been hearing about it for a while, and I thought, well, I'm going to try that one of these days.
Yeah.
And I finally got the nerve, well, I don't say the nerve, but I finally got around to doing it because, you know, now that Windows Vista's out, and since WindowEyes already supports Vista and everything else, I figure, well, what the heck? I'll switch it, you know? I've been studying the manual the past couple of days. We're learning some of the keystrokes and all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's cool.
Wow. Well, lots of changes for you, that's for sure.
Yeah. Lots of changes, but I think it's probably for the best right now.
Well,
like this old drive now is probably about ready to hit the dust.
That sounds like a country song. This old drive's ready to hit the dust. Yeah. Well, you know what? We have to run, but you know, I'd like you to think about, and if you're around next week, give me a call during open forum. I'd like you to think about the question that Peter asked about what would make the jury experience more accessible for
you. Oh, yeah, you were asking
you.
About jury duty, and this is funny because I was talking to my dad today. I got a letter the other day saying that I have to sign up for jury duty.
Good for you. We'll try.
Well, and here's the thing, because my dad's going to try to get me a doctor's excuse, because here's the thing. How am I supposed to, and maybe somebody else can answer this, how does a blind person do jury duty? Because, you know, I don't know. You know, don't you have to have certain equipment, you know, for example, to keep track of what's going on in the courtroom? I mean,
well, I think that it very much depends upon the kind of case you're hearing.
Yeah.
You know, and we do have to run here in a minute, but you know, I would encourage you not to try to get excused. I would encourage you to go and see what happens. And you may get chosen. You may not get chosen. You may not even make it into the jury pool. But to just be excused from jury duty because you're blind is doing you a disservice as well, because it may be something that you find that you're quite able, to do. So
but
give
hey,
it some
maybe
thought.
Maybe someone else knows, and they kind of, and maybe if someone else has an idea and they've been through it, maybe they can explain what they did and how they did it, because I'd be interested in hearing their experiences with it.
All right. Well, I gotta run, but give it a shot. Don't just automatically bow out. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
all right.
Hey, nice talking to
you. All right. Talk to you soon.
You too, Marlena.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Matthew. We got to get out of here, man. I tell you what, it is getting time to call it a day. It's been a great 2 hours here with you guys again this week on ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Marlena, and if you would like to get a hold of me, you can do that by sending an email to Marlena. That's MARLAINA at acbradio.org. I want to thank my good friends on ACB Radio from Australia to Arizona who helped make this program very possible. And of course, my beloved Gary the Board Guy in the other room. Without all of those folks, I couldn't do this with you each week. Join me again next week for another edition of Marlena. In the meantime, have a great week, and I'll see you soon.